Hey guys, and welcome to season 3 of the Cosmic Chats with Debbie Sugarbaker podcast. So excited that you're here, whether it's your first time or you've been here before. On this show, I bring on individuals who are elevating consciousness around all different aspects of life, living, and even death. And it is my honor that you are also connecting with us today. Please enjoy this episode.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to today's Cosmic Chat with Debbie Sugarbaker. I am so excited to be here with you today and to bring on Mr. Michael Ocher. Hi, Michael.
Hey, welcome. Debbie. You know what? I just want to say I'm so excited. You've been doing this for so long, and I've been watching your, lives. So it's very cool to join you. First of all, I'm very happy and thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on. It's my pleasure.
And a little bit about me. So I've been, like you said, I'm a Kabbalah instructor, teacher for the last like 20 years almost. Ever since I think high school, I started asking myself, like, why are we here? What are we doing here? You know, what's the purpose? Etc. And I started looking, actually, I grew up Jewish, but I started looking into everything, really, into Judaism didn't resonate with me. I looked into Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Taoism, into really a lot of different religions. That's what I knew. That's what I presumed you have to belong to, right? So I'm like, what do I resonate with? Nothing really stick to me. And then I think when I was 18, I found, or 17 maybe, I found the Kabbalah Center in Kabbalah, and it was like love at first sight. You know, it was just like, this is it. Like, finally, I found what I've been looking for, what I internally connect with. And I've been connected to the center. And eventually, after a few years, I was like, I actually just want to teach and be a teacher. And I joined this incredible, amazing organization and been doing that. And also along the way was lucky enough to discover incredible modalities that also very much contribute to, that connect and resonate with Kabbalah and really contribute to a study. So one of them was Theta Healing, another one is Excess Consciousness. And I incorporated in so much of Kabbalah in them. And so how you can also use them to facilitate your growth in, you know, in your Kabbalistic or in life, really, in general. So, yeah, that's like a little bit about me. And then thanks to Daniel Naor, who started it, he started doing the Tikkun healings right in the center. And then I also was like, oh, I love it. I'm very good at it. So I'm also going to offer it in the in the center as well. So that's how I got to be here. And
for people really big, who don't know, for anybody who's on, so like, can you explain a little bit about like what is Tikkun and what is Tikkun healing and what maybe happens in a session?
Oh, that's a great question. Great question. So the way I like to present Tikkun, and it's a Kabbalistic term, and the way I explain it is an evolution that you go through. It's lessons and awareness and consciousness that you are, you came to this world to learn, experience, and become aware of. So every situation that's giving you an unease or where you don't feel so much fulfillment, that is an area where you can do your tikkun. Means when you will receive the awareness from that situation, the lesson from that situation, when you will fully integrate it and receive it, that's when you will do your tikkun and you will evolve into a happier, more connected, more elevated, lighter being that you truly are. So people like to say that it's a correction process, but it's not coming from the sense that there's something wrong with us that we need to correct. It's from a sense of evolution, of becoming a bigger version of you, a truer version of you. And it's also unlearning concepts or what we call lies that we bought in as truths. right? And I'm sure you can relate. I can relate.
I love where this is going.
Yeah. So it's a lot about recently I like to use that term, and Michael Berg shared it, that's a great way to call it, but it's really lies that we bought into. To be very honest, like 99.9% of this whole world is functioning from these lies, right? So it takes a little bit of like courage and bravery to be like, oh, there's a different way. There's a different way to function. There's a different way to look at things, to think, etc. And yeah, and that's what, that's what Tikkun is. And now Tikkun healing session is something that you do as a one-on-one session where you basically allow me to facilitate you what lesson possibly you could receive from a situation that you don't enjoy. First, to identify what lie you might be functioning from right now, right? To clear it in the best way. Meaning, it's very interesting that we function from an unconscious mind, but the goal is actually to become more conscious. So you want to bring up the things that we bought as lies in our lives and to actually become very clear that, yes, that is something that I function from. And also to get the clarity that functioning and operating from that space is not actually going to lead you to the best life possible. And then you go into a be in a space of a choice. You're like, oh, wait, so if this is not going to lead me to the best life possible, then how can I function? What kind of a point of view, what kind of a belief, what kind of a thinking process I can have in order for me to achieve what I want to receive?
Yeah. So what is an example, or maybe you can give an example of, one of those lies and how like it shifts, just so we can kind
Great question. You know what, I'm not going to mention names, of course, but I just had a meeting with someone and it was about relationships, right? And obviously there's a few topics that are probably the top three of tikkuns that people have. One of them is being relationship, another one being money, and probably the most important one is how you treat yourself, how you are with yourself. But for example, this person, they were saying that, oh, in a relationship, what happens is, it's a woman. So she was saying how I just need to pick someone and then they're going to do all the work afterwards. And I was like, that's really not what a relationship is. Nobody's going to enjoy that relationship, right? Because what you're doing is you're functioning from a lie that you are not the source. You're not the creator. You're not the source. You're not the one that makes your relationship. You're not the one that creates your reality. You're not the reason and the cause of your happiness. You're just lying to yourself to lie enough to someone else also so they buy into you and then they become the cause of that. Is that, you know what I mean? So the lie was basically that, and obviously on a conscious level, almost no one agrees to it, but on a subconscious level, probably 90% of people have this, that once I get into a relationship, that person is going to make me happy. That person is going to do this for me. Then I will have a sense of completeness. Then I will have a sense of accomplishment, then I will be happy. Very simply, I will be happy because I will be in a relationship. And even though we might see that from movies, from the media, from, from everywhere around us, that's a lie, right? Because both of us know that the real source of happiness is ourselves. The real source of fulfillment, happiness, joy is really you. So
it's you, but it's also, it's really like the source and our connection to that source, right?
Well, you know what I like to, let's just highlight how I like to look at it. I like to look at it that, when you really study Kabbalah, you really see that you are the ultimate source. You are the ultimate source of everything. And if you study 10 lumen disseminations, right, you see that what happened is, in very short, we had a wish. The vessel, if you don't know what the vessel is, you know, you can study it on Kabbalah.com. But a vessel said, I want to be the light. I want to be the reason. I want to be the cause. I want to be the source. And this force, the creative force, this energy, this etc., it said, you know what? Your wish is my command. I will make you the ultimate source of fulfillment of everything. And that's where we are here. We are here right now where we've been given the power to really create our life completely. Like, that's how I like to look at it. I like to look at it that you are in a complete ability to generate, create, actualize, manifest, whatever word you want to use, your life to its fullest possible degree. So yes, it is about, I'm not sure if you said like allowing the source, but also allowing that you are the source.
Right. That essence is within us. Like, it's exactly. Our material.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when you were talking about like the vessel, so it was like one, it's just like an interesting concept because it's like one vessel that was like all the souls of humanity in one vessel that said, we don't want to just receive, we also want to be able to create and to be like, you know, this endless force of creating. And then we broke into a bunch of pieces. And so it's just interesting because that's like the Kabbalistic viewpoint on how the world started. So if anybody's interested in that, like definitely check it out because it's so interesting and also attests to a very important point, which is that on what, you know, we're all a part of one human soul, giant.
Yeah.
Originally, we're all from the same source.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll add to that. That's what really, it's the thing you learn in the most basic courses in the center, in Kabbalah Ones, in our Power of Kabbalah book, right? It's what drew me to the center. When I read that, it was like, wow, this is so simple, light, and resonates into everything. And I really, literally had no points to say that this is not true. That's what got me. I was actually read Power of Kabbalah for as my first introduction to the center. And that story, this beautiful story of creation that the Kabbalists describe, the moment you experience it and you read it, you're like, wow, this answers so many questions. And if you really internalize that simple teaching, you can achieve so much in your life. So much can transform just by that, literally those few lessons of that story. Even though it does expand into a 16-volume book written by Rav Ashlag, Disseminations, which is, you know, an amazing, amazing work by Rav Ashlag. But what the beauty of the Kabbalah Center is, and the founders, Rob and Karen, that they were able to take this and digest it and break it down that it's digestible to everyone, right? And yeah, once you know that story, that simplicity of that we are the vessel, obviously we don't mean vessel in the physical sense, but it's an energy of receiving. Because Kabbalists believe that before the creation of this physical reality, there was no physical world, right? It was just simply pure energy, which still exists also. But the space of creation, and I remember also Karen always mentioned it, that the only creation that happened was the creation of a vessel, was the creation of a desire to receive, desire to experience. So not to go too deep into it, like... It is one of my favorite topics, and I love teaching it in classes, and I go so into it, but I'm like, I know I need to pause, like, take a break and restrict.
Totally, but yeah, a lot of sense. I remember when I first came to it also, I was like, what do you mean I chose this? Because so many times, and this can bring us into another topic of choice, so many times we, like, think, I mean, I know that I definitely did. I'm like, what, I chose this? What do you mean? I want to be able to choose? Because I felt like so disempowered in my reality. Wow. And you, like, there's a tenet, like, you can feel like so the victim and like so stuck. So you're like, how could it be that like I chose this? So I remember like the idea of somebody telling me, yeah. And then we're like tested to allow our soul to grow. And I remember even just being like tested. What do you mean? That I'm just like trying to like get myself like It's like I couldn't even imagine being tested because like my self-concept wasn't even a place where I could handle being tested. So I think that that's like a big jump that people can, that that's important. I don't know. There's something, definitely something there, yes. You know, in terms of that idea of choice.
You know what? I think what it does is it empowers you to a place of like, again, yes, you could say, you could have that reaction. A lot of people do have that reaction, right? It's like, what do you mean? I'm the, you know, what am I? The am I at fault? Am I to blame? Right? But really, the purpose of that teaching, and I think the lesson or the tikkun you want to receive from that teaching is an empowerment of who you truly are, that you are the creator of your reality, or the choice maker, the creator, the choice maker, the architect of your whole reality. So when you really, to me, when I really internalize that point of view, it becomes very empowering. It puts me into the place of creation. It puts me into the place of what kind of life I like to create. It could interact with other people, but other people are not the cause. I am the cause. Yeah.
And what else is, and then that brings us to the point of like asking questions. What else is possible? Yes. What can I choose?
Yeah. Well, that
now in my thoughts, what can I choose now in my vibration? I mean, I'll just give an example. It's interesting. Like before this, I felt like I was kind of receiving different insights about what we were going to talk about. And last night I was actually in a store and I went into just try something on quickly. And the woman was like running the fitting room. She was like really like abrasive and like kind of like abusing people as they went in. And for me, usually I have something in my vibration that I'm very gentle, kind of like gentle, empathic, and probably some shame that it's my fault. So usually I became very aware that usually I would go in with this vibration. It's not even conscious. It's more like it's somewhere held in my being. And I was like getting ready to like, you know, I was like kind of bracing myself, like, here it comes. She's going to like yell at me and force me into her room.
Wow.
But before I went in there, I was able to like switch it and realize like, oh, that's an old vibration. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. I am connected to an infinite source. And so from that, and so kind of holding that sense of genuine worth that comes from knowing that we are a soul, that we're not just this body and we're connected to this infinite divine source and we're part of that, you know, original vessel. And I kind of thought about it later because I thought, you know, a lot of us hold that shame or whatever it is inside, that feeling of I'm not good enough. And some people then you feel like you have to like enforce your boundary and you become very abrasive against the other person. But that's not healing that original vibration of, or tikkun, or feeling of, you know, I'm not good enough. But if you actually are able to just like, somehow I was able to slide into this sense of like this calmness and this vibration and the sense that, you know, I'm connected with my soul. And then I interacted with her on a whole different level. Oh. And she wasn't abrasive with me and showed me to the room. And, you know, it wasn't like super kind, but I didn't need that. I didn't need it, you
know? That's amazing. Yeah. Wow.
What else is possible? Because it's all about shifting our vibration. And the reality shows up according to how I am inside.
100%. It's so true. It's so true. And the whole idea of boundaries and having, you know, this ability not to allow other people to influence or bombard you with whatever they're going for, whatever they're doing, is a very, very important skill in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like not taking on other people's because I don't even think that she was wanting people to take it on. She just didn't really care. She was right. Just, you know, not like, anyway.
Well, she's, I mean, with all the respect, she's probably not aware.
Yeah.
You are probably much more of an aware person. I don't want to judge, but I'm pretty sure.
Right? Totally.
So you, and you know, and what you started saying, which is asking questions, which is how you become more aware. The yeah. key to becoming more evolved is to be in a question, is to be in a space. And I was sharing it with Daniel that I did a live with also, that, you know, in Kabbalah, one of the biggest tools that we have and that we learn, and which you actually used, is called restriction. right? Mm-hmm. Which is the moment when you ask, when you pause, right? When something's happening, and our teacher Virav revealed this, that you take a pause and you stop just being a robot. You stop being just functioning. And that space, and to me, the highest way of restricting is actually asking a question, which in reality, what you did, you could have easily just go into, submit into a regular functioning, right? Go into her field and allow her to dominate your energy, your being, etc. But you took a pause and you said, what else can I do? What else is possible? I'm not sure if you ask a question, but you went into a space of a restriction space. You entered a space. You stopped being just a functioning computer, you know, that just, you know, our just mind, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So talking about the new year, what is a tool that you would give people to bring into the new year to really have this great? What we're seeing, I think, from this conversation is that a lot of times we think that a great year is like, have this blessing, it was great in my relationship and I make a lot of money and but what is it that genuinely is going to make a good year? Because, you know, we can achieve all of those things and, you know, people can have, you can have a lot of money in the bank account, but if you don't have this like peace within yourself, sense of like genuine sense of self-respect, self-worth,
yeah,
or whatever else it is, then not necessarily going to be the best year that it could. So what is it in your perspective?
You know, I don't, like I told you, I don't like the resolutions, right? I don't really connect to that. And I read a study yesterday and I reposted it that like 80% of them are finished by February, right? But then when I thought about it, I'm like, but what would be a great intention, seed level, right? Or like this idea that would really make the best year, like you said, yeah? And to me, what came to me was that it would be the relationship you have with you, with how much kindness, how much true, genuine care, generosity, adoration, whatever word you want to use, you have towards you. Because the relationship with you is the building block for everything in your life. The more appreciation, the more care, the more genuine care, the more attention and energy I go into and asking, what would really be the best for me? What would really be the best for me in this situation, in life, in work, in a relationship, for health, for everything? If I'm going to function more and more from that, my experience, my life will be completely different. And it's not, people confuse that with being selfish or egocentric or, wrong or bad or evil, that it's, you know, to think about you or to take care of you. However, that's the biggest lie that you can ever fall into, that thinking or having a relationship with you is something of an evil or bad nature. It's the most important thing. It's the building block of every relationship of your life. You are not able to have a better relationship with anyone than the relationship you have with you. The relationship you have with you will be the fundamental building block, the foundation of everything in your life. You will not allow other people to treat you wrong. You will not allow other people to be disrespectful to you, to do anything. Because let me ask, if you have somebody that you have so much care for, will you allow that person to receive, you know, like nastiness or abuse or anything like that? No, you will protect them, right?
Totally. And even deeper than that, I believe that if you have genuine self-respect, like you're in a, that's a vibration. And it's very rare then that you're not need to bring up into your reality somebody disrespecting you.
Yes.
Because why people who disrespect us come into our reality is to show us, oh, I'm not respecting myself. Somewhere I'm not respecting myself. So they're coming to show me that I'm not respecting myself. At least this is what I've experienced in my life. And more and I said, okay, what is the lesson that I needed to learn from this abandonment or just mistreatment or, you know, whatever? It's because, oh, they didn't see me because I didn't see myself, you know, and I was expecting from the outside something that I really needed to do for myself.
Yeah. And also to show the moment you start to, something that you don't enjoy starts to come towards your way, you express that and you say, I don't enjoy that. I am not going to allow myself to be treated that way, period. Right? Like, how else? It's you know, I also realized after studying these different modalities that I was like, I was giving people excuses of why it's okay to act with what they did. But actually, you just need to say, I don't want that, period. There's no reasoning. There's no, you know, there's no validification for any nasty or abusive behavior towards anyone.
Right.
You just got to cut it right at its source. The moment is you start to, something is going towards you that you don't enjoy, you got to cut it off right away. And I had a very powerful experience actually last year that was one of the best lessons that I learned for me, was that when I was actually allowing somebody to do that to me. And then I made it very, very clear that if we want to have a relationship, that is not going to be present. And if it will, we're not going to have a relationship, period. So was it hard? Yes. It was like, what am I doing? Like, how could I say that, right, et cetera. But the moment I said it, first of all, I felt amazing. The relationship became so much better. The person started respecting me so much more. There became so much more honor and respect in the relationship, in the dynamic, right? It was an amazing, and that was a tikkun that I did, right? That was a tikkun that I, thanks to my wife, my partner, who pointed it out for me. And she's like, you know, you need to set boundaries. And I was like, wow, yes. So I learned that on such a deep level last year. And then everything resonated and became better around, right?
Yeah, it's almost like you created a bridge, like it became like this kind of, you created a bridge between you and the other person. There was like a recognition that there is a recognition that somehow we are connected on a deeper level, so that I can set boundaries. It's going to create, it's going to help us reconnect, because how it was, we weren't acknowledging like that there wasn't a connection. The connection wasn't, and so you made that connection.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, because having respect and honor in a relationship is a bridge, is how you can interact with another person. If it doesn't exist in a relationship, how are you going to have a relationship, right? Like, if the other person generally doesn't respect you, what kind of a connection is that, right? That's not a relationship. Yeah, that's powerful.
Very powerful.
Yeah. So that's, again, so go back to what you said, like a resolution is to start to look at how I treat myself. And I like to tell my students or in sessions to look at yourself as the most endeared being in your life, to have so much like this list of like kindness and care, and be like, wow, what's to check in with yourself and be like, how are we doing? You know, how is everything going? Like, is every relationship, is every aspect in your life going with the best way possible for you? Yeah. So to me, that's very fundamental. And I think one intention to have is to genuinely, the thing is, people think that choosing you means being very selfish and just grabbing things for you, which is not true. It doesn't mean you just only do things for you. It means you are in a question. You really ask, what would be the best for me? What can create the best life for me? What is this relationship in its best place? How can I improve it? How can I make it better? Is my health in the best place? Is my body in a good space, right? Are my relationships in a good place? So asking those questions and having the target of improving everything in your life, because that's what you really can do. You know, with all these things, probably me and you are just so into it that, you know, just part of our life, we're constantly looking how we can improve everything, right? But it's also a lot of people don't even realize you can improve so many things in your life. Really, really everything can be better. Really. So how can, what would it take?
Ask yourself a day.
What?
How many times do you ask yourself questions in a day?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like I don't know, thousands. But I'm aiming for more. Because every time I finish, well, every time I do a session, obviously there's a lot of questions, right? Because in the Tikkun healing session, it's the more of the questions we enter into, the more the person is open to seeing themselves in a deeper place. So the more we ask a question, you know, there's a few great ones that I just absolutely love from Access Consciousness. Is one that started me with Access is, how does it get any better? Which is so amazing, which is a mantra kind of, right? And, you know, science says that whatever you set your mind to, that is what you're going to find. So if we are asking the question and setting our goal as, or target as, how do things get better? You will find how it gets better. You will find. You don't need to answer it. You just need to create that space, that question, that vessel of how does it get any better? And it's going to improve. And the other one is also very simple, which is like, who does this belong to? Which is anytime you experience a feeling, an emotion, a thought even, or any point of view, you can actually ask yourself, who does this belong to? Is this mine? Or did I pick it up from somebody else? And a lot of times we pick up, you know, definitely, I'm not even going into emotions, thoughts and feelings, but really points of view that you just function from, the way you look at life, from somebody else. And wow, when you become aware that I picked up some, you know, when I picked up a belief from somebody else, it's not that it's a bad thing. You just become more conscious. And then you can ask yourself, is this the best point of view for me? Is this point of view really creating the life that I want to create or not?
Yeah. And also it's like you tend to feel when you're bombarded with other people's points of view or you've taken on other people's points of view, at least they feel heavier. They feel like you're like having to like struggle to live underneath this point of view and everything that it requires of you, but it's not necessarily even your point of view. And I found that the more that I'm just asking, like, who does this belong to? You know, what else is possible? Who does this belong to? Like these two questions that you said, that's a great way to just start.
Mm-hmm.
What else is possible? Who does this belong to? You have kind of like shifted. You'll see the things and you're become more, more centered within myself, you know, and attached and more clear.
Yeah. Because, like you said, lighter. You're going to be lighter. You will be
lighter.
Much, much lighter because all those points of view are heavy. So once you start to become clear, you will be very light.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that includes other people's points of view of ourselves, of you, of myself, or other people's point of view of myself, because it's another thing. I realize, oh, I'm like attached to their, especially people who are really empathic, really psychic, where you like throwing out psychic hooks for like little kids, because that's how we would maintain a sense of safety. We put out a second, you could feel what the other person is thinking, maybe, or from the solar throughout a cord, you kind of feel the room so that you know maybe who you need to please in order to keep everything, you know, okay. And those are tools that we learned as kids in order to survive in different environments. And then, so as adults, it's like it can feel very, like if I'm throwing out a second hook, so I'm going to pick up on that person's feeling about whatever it is. It could be about me, and this could be also just an illusion, right? I could think that that's what that person is thinking, but you're just picking up on all these different views of yourself that aren't necessarily true, and then living underneath those is like so heavy.
Yeah,
because it's not the truth of ourselves, which is that we're infinite beings.
Exactly. Boom, that's the ultimate truth. And also, you know what, I like the analogy that we're like sponges walking around. And unless you ask that question, you're going to just literally sponge and absorb everything around you.
Yeah.
The problem is most of it is not good things.
Right.
If you don't put yourself into an aware place of like, wait, who does this belong to? If you go to a restaurant and you sit down and all of a sudden you start to get upset, it could be the upsetness of a person that sat in that chair before you. It doesn't necessarily have to be yours or somebody around you right now. It could be also like a leftover, right? Like somebody, because energy, everything is energy, right? And if a person is hosting and harvesting energy that's not really light or true energy, you will pick that up also from them, right? Or if you go into a space with a lot of people, there might be a lot of emptiness, a lot of lack, a lot of illusion, a lot of sadness, depression, you know, in that room. And when you walk in and you feel anxious, that anxiety or that anxiousness might, most of the time, is not yours.
Wow.
It's just like you said, like those, you know, either psychic hooks or whatever, but people are just projecting that. You being aware, being psychic, being telepathic, are picking that up. And you're like, oh my God, no, what are they going to think? What is going to happen, et cetera? When in reality, it's so not relevant to you. It's none of yours to begin with, right? So, but that's why being in a question is so amazing, that when you ask a question, you are not looking for a right answer. It's not, the point is not to just find the multiple choice and the right answer to a solution. What you will start to get is an awareness, and you will have possibilities come to you. And you will just be able to choose a better possibility in that scenario. Not necessarily, because a lot of times when I'm teaching classes and you teach the concept of asking a question, people ask, so what's the right answer? And that's the biggest stumbling block on asking questions. People think that you need to get a right answer. The point is not to get a right answer. What you will get is awareness. And from awareness, you can create and choose something else. Mm-hmm. But not the right, you know, again, we, you know, like the founder of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas, he says, you know, we haven't been taught to choose correctly, like to choose, period. We constantly think it has to be the right choice, has to be the appropriate choice. It has to be, you know, people need to like it, what people are going to think. But in reality, you want to choose what will create the best for you, not necessarily right or wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And if it's in my highest good, then it's going to be in the highest good of everybody else.
Exactly.
It's like you're setting it was the right thing, right? Because it created in the end connection, like
exactly,
and for the other.
Yeah, and like you said, that's an amazing point also, that when you do that, it actually, that's how you help contribute and make the whole world better. Mm-hmm. So true, that when you actually function from that space, from more awareness, or what's your highest good, and etc., you're actually doing the best possible you could in this whole world, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Which is also counter how we've been taught. We've been taught that you need to think about others, but actually, when you really think what's best for you, for your highest self, etc., you are actually doing the best for everybody else.
Exactly.
Very powerful. Yeah.
We kind of like stuck there a little bit, but
yeah.
Some of us got kind of like stuck on that one, but then we realized, oh, okay, no, I have to put myself. And then, you know, like the old, then your oxygen mask, and then you can help others.
Exactly. Go into nature and breathe some oxygen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
wow. You know what? One more thing about New Year's resolution that came to me today, and I was like, wow, what would be the biggest gift is also to be able to choose more, to be aware that you are choosing. And because I love this concept that creation is choice and choice is creation. And it's something that I'm working on still, that to really internalize and actualize that the way I can create something is simply by choosing it. To me, it still sounds crazy. It's like, really? That's how easy it is, and that's how I can do it. So I would wish for myself and for everyone, for you, for everyone that listens, is to acknowledge the power of choice, what choice is. That choice is the biggest gift we all received in this reality. Yeah. So how can we choose? How can we just choose more? I'm not going to say better or lighter. But how can we just choose more? I think that will be amazing.
Yeah. And to ask, and it starts, I think, with asking those questions and getting in that vibration, like kind of in the vibration that you're speaking of. Because then people might get stuck and be like, oh, then every choice, like, what am I going to have for dinner? It's like so important. Like, though you don't want to get stuck in these, see yourself as fluid. See yourself as fluid, as changing, as voices are changing, as energy, more like this, rather than like, I'm here and, oh, I'm not going to make another choice. Oh, and then some of us get in like fight, flight, or freeze, you know, and then we feel like, oh, I can't make it. But just stay fluid. What else is possible? And those questions are really important for that.
Totally. Yeah, totally. So true. Yeah, it's I heard a great term. It's people get stuck in the paralysis of choice of decision making. Okay. I literally had that, so I can relate.
Me too. I totally can relate to that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Just one more like small thing. And this morning I went to get my nails done. This morning.
Nice. And the color.
Thanks. And there was a girl next to me, and I just felt that. It's like, I just felt like, oh, she's like a nice person. They ended up sitting her like literally right next to me. And, you know, you can feel something else in your vibration. So sometimes when I'm in the space, I'll just like meditate and send that person like not to invade on their energetic field. But, you know, anytime in different modalities we learn, anytime you can meditate to send somebody light, energy, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not invading a personal space. It's working with the creator to meditate for the person. And so I was just kind of doing that. And then she like pulls out her phone, and I wasn't like peeking, but I happened to see that she was like writing in her notes. She started writing in her notes, and she was writing. She had things that were like in for 2024 and then out.
Wow.
And she was writing. The only thing that I saw was self-abandonment.
Wow.
On the out. And I said, okay, it's very apropos for the
change. That's amazing. She wrote self-abandonment as out.
Out. No more self-abandonment.
Amazing. Wow.
Stay with yourself.
How beautiful.
Yeah, stay with yourself, even in like the feelings, even in like the uncomfortable feelings, even when you feel sad, you know, just to be present with myself. Even if, you know, sometimes I find that, especially as a Gemini moon, it's like you feel an uncomfortable emotion. You immediately want to like go to something, but there is a lot of value in just, like you said, staying with yourself and being endearing towards yourself.
Yeah. And also, and really like coming from a fellow Gemini sun, we don't love dealing with emotions, right? We flee from that. But, and that's why asking that question, who does it belong to, can be so powerful also, because if you are perceiving a sadness or an energy of downness, you know, of like not so optimistic, etc., really to ask yourself, like, what am I picking up right now? Is this mine? Who does it belong to? And can I actually send it back and send them light as I'm sending it back? So it transforms for them also. So to me, that's a key. And it's not an easy tool that I started using for me, actually. In the beginning, it was like a stupid question. Like, who does this belong to? What do you mean, who does this belong to? Like, it's all mine, right? But the more you actually ask that question, like, wait, who do these points of view, feelings, emotions belong to? You start to become aware of it. I picked up some from my mom, some from my dad, some from my, you know.
How much of this did I pick up from my mother before my 15? I was just listening to, Dane here from Access Consciousness.
Yeah.
And somebody came on his show, or he was talking about a practitioner or somebody who said that they started saying, who does this belong to? And they said it for 3 days straight, like with every feeling that came up. He was sharing that she said, like at the end, she felt kind of like she was high, like a whole different person. Because she was just moving through all of this content, emotions, points of view.
That's who we truly are. That lightness of being, that lightness of existence, that lightness is our true essence. We somehow picked up that a heaviness is what's true, is what defines us, is what we are. But it's the lightness that you truly are. the lightness of being, of like emotionlessness, is who we truly are.
Right.
It's so beautiful. That's amazing.
Very beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Michael, it's been a true pleasure.
Same.
Thank you.
Me.
I feel that whoever's watching going to really be able to create that authenticity this year.
Yes. More, and how does it get any better, and what else is possible?
What else is possible? Thank you
so awesome.
Much. If you would like to learn more about Michael, connect with him, you can go to his Instagram, and you can also go to Kabbalah.com and sign up for a healing session if you're interested in that. If you're interested to learn more about that or more about Kabbalah, that's www.kabbalah.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everyone. Happy New Year. Thank you, Debbie. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
See you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to the end of this episode. It was a true pleasure to be able to connect with you on the level of spirit, on the level of energy, on the level of consciousness. And my hope is that this community, which we are building, can grow and grow and just welcome more souls in. So feel free to like, share, subscribe, and connect with other people, connect other people to the Cosmic Chats. And if you know anybody that would like to be featured on the Cosmic Chats, please reach out to me. Have a beautiful day, everybody. Thank you.